When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
Yeah, because I'm so blocked off.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. That's so, okay, so I think this is going to be a really interesting episode because we have two very different perspectives on it. Because for me, mine is like almost like I experience a discomfort, but I'm able to really move past it. Like the discomfort for me is really not the problem, but it's more, how is the other person going to react? Can we have a productive conversation? It's like the what ifs from the other end, but not really my own experience. So that's going to be interesting to have this conversation. I honestly didn't even conceptualize that for you, that was that way, because for me, it's so different. Okay. How many times, Ravisha, have you thought in this last week to have a conversation with someone, but didn't have a conversation with them because it felt too tough or it felt too uncomfortable? Because I can think of so many.
Yes, I am the queen of avoiding anything uncomfortable or...
Oh my gosh, really?
Okay, I don't need your sarcasm.
I'm just joking because I know that's been a theme too we've talked about here. You've been very open with our listeners about that, and I appreciate you doing that because I'm sure people resonate with it.
Yeah, it has been. And like, I feel like sometimes what comes up most for me is like when having like tough conversations, like whether it's at work or with family or friends, I think it's just like being uncomfortable and maybe not making a plan or really working on like what, like the conversation that I need to have and how to have it. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's, for me, my thought process used to be that easier to avoid than like actually talking about it, but obviously that's not how things resolve. And you know, for the most part too, as we're growing older, it's not, you know, this is going to get any easier, but if there's like a way for you to work out how to have tough conversations or recognize the feelings that come up for you, I think it can be, it can go more smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like planning for it and thinking about it will help so much. Cause otherwise I think we get anxious about it. Cause then we're just in the emotions of it's already going to be uncomfortable. But I think if you plan, then it can help ease a bit of the discomfort. It's still, no matter what, going to be uncomfortable, but having tough conversations is the only way that I guess we can get our needs met. And we can also communicate what's going on internally, because we can ruminate about it or talk to other people about it, like talk to other people about a certain person, but that doesn't change the situation. The only way that it can change the situation is by having a tough conversation.
Exactly. And like sometimes we can't overcome that anxiety, like that initial anxiety feeling. And I think that's what like kind of sets us back and doesn't let us like kind of overcome that, because like sometimes it's like you don't have the tools to do so, or you're just like unsure how to go about things. And yeah, it is nice to maybe talk to someone else about it that's maybe not involved in that conversation, but at the end of the day, that doesn't help you like work through that.
Exactly. So I'm glad that we're really talking about it, because that's something I imagine many people go through. Like I literally can think about a handful of times this last week that I wish I had a conversation with someone, but I avoided it because I was feeling uncomfortable. So it's definitely something we experience, whether it be with work, with family or friends. So we asked for you, with you being the quote unquote queen having tough conversations, what would you say gets in the way of having them other than discomfort? Like, is there anything else that comes up for you?
I think of like the worst case scenario when I like think in my head about having said conversation. I go straight to, oh, like the worst thing could happen with having this conversation. And that's where I just dwell on so much. Mm-hmm. And so for the longest time, I would just be like avoiding. That's why I would avoid confrontational conversations, because I just couldn't get over the fact that, like, it's possible that it won't be a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And even if it is, though, like, is that, like, is there a way for me to work around that? Like, I never thought about that. Like, I only thought, like, in one way, in that way.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the worst case situation, especially when it comes to, I think, friends and family, like, people we're in close relationships with, that can feel even more uncomfortable. Because, of course, we don't want to have uncomfortable conversations in general in any setting. But at work, I feel like sometimes we think the stakes are a little bit lower, that it's like, okay, my boss is going to be mad at me. But, well, I guess actually boss can be hard, because we feel that power dynamic. They might be giving you a promotion or giving you your next raise. So it's like not wanting to make them mad because of the fear of what they do. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Not like upsetting someone, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess for me, one of the biggest things that I get worried about with upsetting people is like how long they're going to be upset. Mm-hmm. That for me is hard, because to have tough conversations with, like, I have more confidence having tough conversations with some people. One, because I just feel overall more comfortable with them, but I also know how they handle being upset at things. Some people are avoidant, or they're, you know, they don't really address it head on with you. And so then that makes me less likely to want to have a conversation with people like that. I don't know if you experience that. Like, for me, definitely some people are way more easier for me to have a tough conversation with, because I know how they're going to react, how they're going to show up for me. And I understand their emotional intelligence to some level, that it almost is like a cushion for me to be able to have the conversation.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't actually think of it that way. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's a different perspective that I'm sure other people also feel. But I think because I'm so in my head thinking about my uncomfortableness, I don't even think about like what the reaction be with someone that I'm having a tough conversation with. Like, yeah, because I'm so blocked off.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. That's so okay. So I think this is going to be a really interesting episode, because we have two very different perspectives on it. Because for me, mine is like almost like I experience a discomfort, but I'm able to really move past it. Like, the discomfort for me is really not the problem.
Okay.
But it's more, how is the other person going to react? Can we have a productive conversation? It's like the what ifs from the other end, but not really my own experience. So that's going to be interesting to have this conversation. I honestly didn't even conceptualize that for you that was that way, because for me it's so different.
I know. I think that's like so interesting though, because we know each other so well, but sometimes like something like this, like we like might not, like I don't think we've really ever talked about this as much. And so to think about how we look at it very differently I feel like this will be really interesting to like talk about today.
Exactly. Yeah, that is so interesting, because for some of us it might be that we're struggling with our own discomfort, which I know we're going to talk about that during this episode as well. And then some of it might be that they're more worried about what other people will say or do, so it can be able to hopefully meet the needs of everyone. So I have two questions, and I'm trying to think of which question I want to start with asking.
Okay.
You ever feel like that? You're in between two things. You're like, do I ask this person this thing, or do I ask this person this thing? Okay. So I'm going to ask you, I've thought of this. Okay. So what is a time that you have felt unsure to have a conversation with someone? Like, do you feel the most unsure with friends, with family, and work settings? You have a certain facet of your life that you experience the most uncertainty, or maybe discomfort, or you take a pause before doing it?
Definitely would be work first.
Okay.
And then friends and family for me.
Okay. Why would you say work first?
Because for work, sometimes I feel like I lack like self-confidence. I know I'm capable, and like I know I'm doing a great job, but like sometimes it's almost like I have like a lot of imposter syndrome, I feel like, sometimes at work. And so I think sometimes that can come in the way of like when I'm feeling like especially when like I know I need to stand up for myself or need to advocate for myself, it can be a little tough for me. So that's why work comes up first.
Yeah. Because what you were saying, that you, if you already have discomfort to have tough conversations and then you have the imposter syndrome, that's like two uncomfortable emotions that you have to be able to overcome. It's not just one uncomfortable feeling.
It's like two. Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. Like, because for me, it's definitely the other end of I struggle the most with, I would say, like maybe friends or family, because even though I feel more comfortable with them, I also care more about what they have to think and or say.
That makes sense for your scenario.
Yeah.
Because you are thinking about the other person's feelings and the way that they would react.
Yeah. Like, even to approach a conversation, I think so much about when to bring it up, because I'm like, okay, they're going through this right now, or, oh, they have this big thing, or, oh, they have a really tough week with work. They have that their whatever performance review this week, or like whatever they have. And it makes it so hard for me to think of when to bring things up to people, because I'm thinking, which is also me over catastrophizing ways, because I'm assuming that maybe they can't handle a conversation when they totally could. It was actually my therapist that we talked about this. It was like a couple years ago. She was like, you assume that people are not able to take that on, when let them make the choice. Like, let them be like, I'm not able to have this conversation right now, or setting a boundary. You don't even give them that option when you're overthinking. So that was interesting. I don't know if anyone resonates with that, but that's helped me with being able to have some of those tough conversations, because I've tried to not have to put myself in other people's shoes. Like, it doesn't mean don't consider it at all, but not overthinking about it.
Yeah, I get that too, because I do agree. Sometimes like we can get so in our head, and like what you said, how, yeah, I don't think this is a good time. Like, another time it should be brought up, like a different time.
Exactly.
But like, sometimes there's just never a good time, and
nothing is ever ideal.
I think we like psych ourselves out so much about it, like with the confrontation of it all, that we never, like, we're just thinking, oh, there should be a good time to do this. But sometimes you can't find that ideal time. And if you have something that you need to get off your chest, like, you need to get off your chest, you know?
Exactly. So I know that we have kind of thought for ourselves, what are ways that we have tough conversations, or that we've seen tough conversations be successful. And I guess the way that we, for the sake of this episode, framed it was with like the what to think about before having the conversation, what to think about after, during the conversation, and what to think about after. Mm-hmm. So for you, what is your before process like when thinking about having a tough conversation?
Okay, so my before process is usually, well, after like talking about this in therapy and doing some work with it, my before now looks like,
you're like, that's the before process.
What I've overcome. But my before is usually like I'm the type of person that likes to like jot things down, right? So like put things in my journal. And so I usually think about like why this conversation needs to happen, what would be the ideal outcome for me, and then how to let go of some assumptions I already have. So like I write those down.
Yeah.
Because I think, for me, like I said, I'm so in my head about it that once I kind of break it down about like the why of it all, and you know, how to get rid of some of those assumptions and stuff, it then kind of helps me then get to the next step of taking that step forward to and getting the confidence to have the conversation.
Exactly. Because it seems like the confidence to have it is the biggest thing that gets you between the before to the during.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
For me, my before is definitely like reflecting on the situation, what I need from the conversation, and like talking to my therapist, other people about it. I would say that before, I really think a lot about like, what do I want to get from this conversation, and is it even realistic? That is a really big question I ask myself, because for some people in situations, it's not realistic to have that conversation. Like, they might, you can have it to have it, but wanting change from them might not be realistic. So for me, like, let's say if I'm like, my ideal outcome of this conversation is I want them to change. That might not be realistic, but just being like, my ideal outcome is for us to have a better understanding of each other and it have nothing to do with change, like that might be more realistic. So I try to make sure that what I'm even expecting or wanting from the conversation is realistic, just to avoid any kind of like frustration or disappointment. And then also to reflect on the assumptions that I've been making, because we all make assumptions, and you know, we can assume why someone did something or their intentions and make up a whole story in our head that might actually not even be true. So I like to try to catch myself in that assumption making before I even approach the conversation. Because if I'm approaching the conversation with a ton of assumptions, that's going to have the other person already feel defensive, to feel misunderstood by me. And so I want to be able to make sure I'm not making assumptions and removing that assumption making before I even like see that person or approach the conversation.
I know. And it's so crazy how sometimes like assumptions like fill us up.
Oh yeah, so much.
So much. And we don't even realize how much we're doing it until, like you just said, like you were like reflecting and you're like thinking about like what's realistic and all that. Yeah. And then you're finally like able to kind of break that down a little bit. But it's so, I'm glad you brought that up, because like I feel like the chokehold assumptions have on us sometimes can really alter the way we go about things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess for you, what's a way that you've noticed assumptions to alter the way you do things? I'm thinking about many, 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 many ways that I've changed it. But what do you think shows up for you when you already, when you find that you're like feel uncomfortable about doing things in the first place?
I think it's like me having a conversation myself, almost just thinking, oh yeah, like this is what's happening. Like this is what's going on. And I'm almost just like finding ways to almost avoid it because of all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that happens with me the most.
For all the assumptions. Because then it's like when we make assumptions, we don't know a lot of time what is an assumption, what's not. Mm-hmm. But I've thought that the more that we just be curious about it and make zero assumptions, that makes it easier. Because before I would be like, okay, well, what's an assumption? What's not an assumption? And obviously it's hard to like categorize that. Yeah. So I think just trying to go making zero assumptions, because maybe some things you're assuming were actually correct. But why does that even matter? You don't need to be right about it. Like it doesn't matter.
I know. And yeah. And I think that's what kind of like held me back, was that like, just like just thinking like all these like different scenarios, or like thinking like how this other person might be feeling. But it's like you said, if you just like go in, like none of that, it can make such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to really take those assumptions out, and then even working through our own feelings. Cause I think that we can project our feelings a lot onto people too. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I can see so many ways that I do that too, when I'm like, oh, I don't want them to feel uncomfortable or this or that. I'm projecting my own stuff onto there around my own feelings with discomfort. But we have to be able to know ourselves and our goals and our values and our emotions and be able to hold that before entering a conversation. Because otherwise, if we don't know all of that, we can get it really mixed up into the situation. It doesn't even always end up being about the situation anymore. And also another thing with before that I think about is, so like, let's say that this situation or this person, there are other things that I'm upset by. I try to really just focus on one topic and make myself like be like, okay, what is the topic at hand? Because I could have like for some situations a laundry list of things, but that's really not helpful.
Yeah.
So the before is like, what do I want to accomplish? And it being like one thing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that 100%. I think sometimes we can get carried away.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you know, it depends on like if the conversation gets heated or like other things are brought up. But, you know, we can get distracted from like the actual like point of itself of the conversation.
Yeah.
And then you can find that like after all this back and forth, there's no resolve. And it's probably because you like strayed away from like the main point of it all. And so, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up again, because it's so easy to be like, if you are accusing someone of something or like whatever's going on, you can be like, oh yeah, you did this, this and that. And like, this is why I have all these problems with, and like, this is why I feel this way. But if that's not the reason why you're having the conversation, then like, I don't think it's valid to bring up sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, if there's really nothing that can change on hand with the current situation, there's no point. If you're bringing something up, well, of course, maybe not no point, but if it's many things happening at once, it's not easy to really get any outcome done. So to be realistic about it.
And it's unfair to the other person.
Yeah, they get confused. There have been times that I've been on the receiving end of that and I'm like, whoa, like, what is this even about? You know what I mean? Like, people are bringing up other stuff and then you're just thinking like, I didn't know you were even thinking about that, which is still absolutely valid for them to bring it up. But to be able to, it's just hard to really come to any resolution when there are many topics and problems being thrown for not even having a tough conversation, but I think anything in a relationship, it's just not very productive. I guess it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just not productive.
Right. And like, you can just, you can catch someone so off guard with that too. And like,
then they get defensive.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. It's like then the guards start coming up, and then you know, it's like defense mode activated.
Exactly. And when you're defensive, it doesn't, the conversation goes nowhere and it's not helpful for any party and you don't end up feeling even connected by it overall.
Yeah. That's why sometimes it's so important to do that before part of a conversation, right? It's because you do want to maybe like think about why, like, again, like, why is this conversation important and what you really want to focus on and then what you want to accomplish from the conversation. Because sometimes I think our thoughts can just be like so like jumbled all the time. And, you know, it's not that you need to organize your thoughts per se, but it's more so like just figure out like the one thing that you really want to resolve and like what you think it's going to like help you move on. And
exactly.
Then how you will, while during the conversation, then you can like focus on that.
Yeah. Okay. So perfect segue. So now let's go into the during. So we talked about all the things to do before. So during the conversation, now that we know we're going into it, knowing what really we want to talk about, what's the goal of the conversation, our own needs, our own feelings, then we're put in front of the other person. And it seems like the biggest thing that we had found for both of us is active listening and communication, like the overall act of communicating, listening to the other person, speaking what's on your mind, and just like doing all of that with your emotions being regulated. I guess like that's kind of what I found like the overall theme to be. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think that sometimes we like, you know, we're ready with our points, our, you know, our backups and like everything. We're ready and we go into the conversation with that. But then we often forget to listen to the other person's like responses. And if you're not like, there's listening versus active listening is so different. Mm-hmm. Active listening is when you're actually like taking it in what someone else is saying to you and thinking about what they're saying, like actually like putting some thought into what they're saying. And sometimes like, you know, when you are having a confrontational conversation, like you forget to do that. And then it's just back and like constant back and forth of probably saying the same thing over and over again.
Exactly. And it can just go in circles and it gets exhausting. You're just, I can think of a situation that I've been in a back and forth conversation or like circling in a conversation and it's just draining. It's unproductive.
Yeah.
And then it has both people not wanting to go anywhere near a conversation again. And then it doesn't even lead to any kind of resolution because you've almost like really have now like a very bad adverse reaction to even having the conversation. So we have to be able to kind of think about what's the best way to have as pleasant of a conversation as possible. Of course, it's never going to be fully pleasant, but I guess trying to make it as pleasant as possible and striving for that. So even if that means taking a pause, taking a break, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And that's something that we've talked about before with taking breaks and taking pauses. Like you don't have to lay everything out at the table all at once. You can take some time to do what feels right.
Yeah. I think when you do, when you feel like, you know, the conversation is going in circles and like it's not productive, like there's nothing wrong with like putting a pin in it, you know?
Exactly.
Because sometimes you both parties need to like decompress, like, you know, think about like what just was said and reflect on it and then, you know, come back and be like, this is what I feel after reflecting and then like having a more productive conversation. Yeah. And like sometimes when you need clarification or clarification is being asked of you, it can just like be almost like not insulting, but sometimes you can feel like, why do I need to like make myself clear? Or like, what more do I need to say? But like, it's the other party may not actually understand and does need that clarification. And like, we can't get offended by that.
Yeah. I think that we get so exactly what you said, over offended when we have to explain ourselves to other people, but we just forget that's part of communication, that we have to explain ourselves. And sometimes we're not really explaining in a way that they're able to hear us. That's just what it means to communicate. But when we have our guard on or our defenses on, we feel like somebody asking to explain ourselves is like, is almost insulting in a way. I don't know. When it's not insulting, it's okay. Actually, I prefer when someone asks me what I meant by something, because that means they're actually listening and they're wanting to understand me, versus you could just nod your head at anyone, but that doesn't mean you're actually getting a productive conversation. The only way of actually having a productive conversation is, like you said, active listening, but also receiving and internalizing that information. If you don't do that, then what is even the point of having the conversation? Nothing will change.
Exactly. And I actually had to work on that, because I did get not offended, but I would just feel like, am I not making sense when someone asked for like more clarification? Like, I would not feel down on myself, but be like, I'm confused. Like, what am I saying that is like not being understood? But it's like, it's really not to offend anyone. It's really just to be like, I want to hear your point. I want to get your point of view.
Yeah.
And if you need, and like, if they need another way of you to explain it, like, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Like you said, that just means that they're actually actively listening to you and want to give like a meaningful response back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because during a conversation, even we are, the way that we're able to receive information might be not as top notch as normal, because we might be feeling a certain way about the conversation. We might be feeling anxious or off guard. Like, we're having our own emotional reaction. So when we're having our own emotional reaction, it's harder to also process information. So there's like so many things going on when we're having a tough conversation. It's us having to regulate our emotions, us having to actively listen to the other person while also trying to think about, okay, what is the whole end game and goal of this conversation? Like, there's a lot going on. So it's okay to take a pause. And I think sometimes we focus way too much on like one of those things.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that there's so many things that are happening. And it's hard to have hard conversations, but having hard conversations are what equal healthy and fulfilling relationships. So it's like, you have to do it, but it's also okay that it is difficult because there's so many things going on. Like, we don't give ourselves almost enough grace for that, I feel.
I agree. And I think sometimes too, we don't realize that communicating effectively is so hard to do.
Yeah.
It's like one thing to say say words that are coming out of your mouth, but like to say them with like the right tone, the right way that you're putting their sentences together, like that all makes such a difference in how someone is perceiving your frustrations or like your emotions. Like, you know, no two people have the same brain.
Exactly. So
like the other party that's involved in the conversation or parties, like, it's very easy to be misunderstood. And I think we should be okay with being like, that's a part of a conversation, being misunderstood.
Yeah.
But there's always a way to become understood.
Exactly. You're likely heading into any kind of tough conversation being misunderstood. And that's natural, because probably the tough conversation won't be happening unless you're feeling misunderstood. So it's almost like going from that misunderstood, and then it's like going through that gray area toward understanding. It's not going to happen just in a blink of an eye, but it'll take some time, and we just have to have patience through that process.
Yeah. Ooh, patience is a good keyword.
Yeah. We're not patient. We just want an outcome so quick.
I know. And it's like, we want resolve so quickly sometimes that like, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
I think so many times we're like, okay, like I'll have this like quick conversation, we'll get it done and like things will be good. But like, again, it does not, that's not how like communicating effectively works. Like, it does take time. It does take like sometimes multiple conversations to have. Like, it's not going to be like a quick fix with maybe just one conversation. Like, usually not.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we're talking kind of about the during, how can we start to go toward the after? So we're talking about that during is like the going through the process of being misunderstood, and hopefully the after is being a bit more understood. Of course, you will never maybe be 100% understood, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But the after process is after you go through all those hard pieces. For you, when you are going through the after, I know for you, reflection and journaling is a very big thing. So how do you reflect and journal, whatever it looks like, after you have a tough conversation?
Yeah, I do like to like reflect and journal after that, because I like to just ask myself the questions of like, what emotion is like now coming up for you? Like, is it an emotion of resolve? Is it like you're content with how it went? Or is it the opposite? Do you feel worse? Do you feel that it could have gone better? Or if it could have gone better, do you feel like there is resolve still? You know, it's just like a bunch of different questions I like to ask myself, because I know sometimes I have a tough time with getting those emotions out. So I definitely do that.
Yeah.
And more likely than not, I usually do feel resolved, but it's like after just like, and it's almost like a weight being lifted off my shoulders usually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel good about it and you're like, wow, I feel better in the relationship. I feel like more connected to people in the relationship after it.
Yeah.
And it's almost gives you this feeling that, okay, that was really hard to do, but I'm glad that I did it. And yeah. It's also, I guess we should talk about the part of like, what if you don't feel great after? I've had also times where I felt like, oh my gosh, I might've had the conversation has had resolved, but my own feelings of discomfort against stating my needs or maybe having another person feel uncomfortable, that comes up like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said this. Maybe I should have said this, and overthinking what I said.
Yeah.
But to think that, you know, if overall that you're working toward deeper connection and more resolution, that's okay. That's the goal. And so we can't overthink, because at least I've caught myself many times in that overthinking trap after, and it's just like not helpful.
I know. Sometimes I can go, like, when I am overthinking about it, I can go back and like almost like cringe at some of the things maybe I've said, but it's like you can't go back in time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's also like the words came out for a reason. And yeah. So as long as, like, you know, you can't take back certain things, and like that's why you just have to focus on like moving forward instead of like looking past, like looking at the past and how it went. Like, more often times than not, like, it's just us being in our own head about it.
Yeah, exactly. We get so in our own head, and when we're in our head, it like takes us far away from what the reality of the situation is. So yeah, it's important to really just go through the conversation. It's okay to have discomfort. It's okay to feel like you're misunderstood. You're never going to feel 100% understood by everyone, because no one's in your mind. No one knows what you're thinking. So feeling misunderstood is normal in a relationship. It doesn't mean that it's like a doomed or bad relationship. It's more about how you end up going through it.
Yeah. A question I want to ask you is, like, sometimes, like, do you ever feel like when you're having like these kind of conversations that it can kind of be lonely for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're the only one who's really feeling what's going on through it. And also, you know, when you're stating your needs in general, it can feel really lonely. And when you sit with how you're feeling, because it's a lot easier to avoid how you're feeling. That's something I don't think we talk enough about, is how lonely it is to really make changes or to touch base with your feelings. It's so much easier to not do it. It's not sustainable, but it's easier, and it's less uncomfortable. So yeah, I do feel really lonely in the process. So I'm glad that you brought it up, because I don't think that's something that we talk about enough. Or even feeling like in conflict with someone, that can feel really lonely, because you can talk to other people about it, but they're not going to really 100% understand, because they're not the one in the situation.
Yeah. And sometimes I brought that up because I was just like thinking about everything we just said. And I was like thinking how like that could really, sometimes it can just be so debilitating.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. Going through that, it can just be like so tough. And like you, when we're like, you know, it's like, we never want to make other people uncomfortable or like ourselves uncomfortable or any of that. But like when we have to go through it, that feeling just comes up of like, I'm in this on my own. Like, I feel like I have like no one on my side or something like that. And like, I'm sure some of our listeners can agree with that. And so I just wanted to like bring that up, that it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay to feel that way. It's absolutely normal. And I hope that through this episode, you've been able to kind of reflect on how to have those tough conversations, and also normalize that it's okay to be scared about it or uncomfortable, but also to advocate for your needs. So for you to maybe think about what's a way you can have a conversation, even if it doesn't mean you have to dive into the most difficult conversation, but to advocate for your needs just here and there.
Yeah, it's as someone that like is so bad at doing that, but working on it, advocating for your needs is like the best thing you can do for yourself. Like, and like the people around you, like, they want the best for you as well. And so if you want the best for yourself, and so do the people around you, like, conversations are going to be had that are uncomfortable, but for a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So with that, I want everyone to reflect on kind of conversation they can have this week and moving forward. And I've already thought about this. Like I said, there are conversations that I wish I had this last week. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, oh, how can I have them this week? So yeah, this episode was kind of what I needed to have too.
Same. As I was like thinking about this, I was like, you know, more than anything, this will help me.
The queen of discomfort.
The queen of discomfort. The queen of just avoiding things. But like I said, like, it's such a it's a tough thing to do for yourself. And, you know, it's not like it's going to, I'm not going to like sugarcoat and be like, oh yeah, it's going to be easier every time, but you'll just be more well prepared.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And I hope you can have the best type of tough conversations moving forward. I mean, conversations are tough, but we can all have them together. And at least that feels kind of, I don't know, nice.
Yeah, I hope we gave some insight on how to do it. Like, and, you know, our different perspectives, too, I'm sure helped our listeners as well. So.
Yeah. All right. Bye. So we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account at Conversations Brewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.